So this morning, we are celebrating Children and Youth Sunday. We are also celebrating Father's Day. And we are beginning a sermon series on the one another passages, of which there are more than 40 in the New Testament. Last week, I had told Keith, who filled in for me, that we were finishing Joel, and then we were going to be starting a series on one another. So he helped us out and sort of started the series last week with serving one another, which was wonderful. This week, being Children's Sunday, I have teaching on my mind. Being Father's Day, one of the things our fathers do is teach us. One of the ways that God is described is giving us the Holy Spirit who teaches us in all things. And as we recognize a responsibility we have toward ministering to the young, as we think of supporting one another, it seems appropriate to start with Colossians 3:16. The message that we have this morning before us comes entirely from Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. We are called in this passage to teach and admonish one another. That's the one another that I want us to focus on. But in order to understand this full verse, we need to look at what the purpose is in our teaching and admonishing one another. And what we see first and foremost is that we are given one command in these verses. And that command is found in the very first few words. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The word of Christ can be a multifaceted expression. It can mean the teachings of Christ, which is almost entirely the Bible. It can be, in general, the word of God. Even though it says the word of Christ, could be the word of God. Could be biblical truth. That we ought to have the word of the Bible itself, richly dwelling in us. It also could mean more specifically and likely means in the context of Colossians, the gospel, the story, the message of Christ. If you have a new NIV, they translate it, the word of Christ is actually the message of Christ. Some of the newer translations have the message of Christ, which is the gospel, the good news. Either way, we are to have this truth dwell in us. We're implored to allow the word of Christ to dwell in us. We are to let Jesus take up residence. We are instructed to let the Bible make its home within us. And we are to do it richly. The character of this inhabitation is one of abundance or generosity. When we say, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, it is as if we are saturated with the story of Jesus. In that we are oozing biblical truth. We are leaking. We leave a trail of truth, a fragrance of truth. Yesterday we went to Kohl's and Josh wanted to spray me with something. I don't even remember what it was, but what's that?
Some sort of cologne,
that's right. But I didn't want it. You want to know why? Because you spray that on you indiscriminately, if it gets into you and onto you, becomes part of you, you reek of that for days. I don't like going into Macy's because you have to go past all those fine cosmetic counters and they're spraying stuff and they're... Gives me a headache. But I think that's what the picture here is. That we are so full that it comes out. That's how the Word of God is to be. And it's supposed to be richly dwelling us in us so that it's visible in every aspect of life. When we say, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, we're not talking about a roommate situation where we compartmentalize the home. This is your space. This is my space. This is our space. And I don't go into your space and you don't go into my space. That's not the situation here. This is more of a family situation where everything is communalized. Jesus comes in, the Word of God, the Word of Christ comes in, the message of Christ comes into our lives, and it comes into every part. Oh, you're in your room? Great. What's going on? Oh, what you looking at on the computer? Oh, what's in your sock drawer? Oh, what's in your closet? What? You're expecting to have personal space? No. The Word of God, the Word of Christ, the message of Christ dwells in us abundantly. It gets everywhere. This is my room. No, it's our room. Everything is ours. We share it together. And that's the picture. Scripture is supposed to spill over and be seen and visible in every aspect of our lives. So my question for you this morning is, how deeply is the Word of Christ rooted in your life? How full are you? How richly does it indwell you? If it's not as deep as you would like, if it's not as full as you would hope, I have good news for you. We are here to help. The church is here to help. This church is here for you. Because what it says in this scripture is that that is the model and the goal, that the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And then through different articles of our figures of speech, thank you very much, I take 1 week off and I get hoarse because I'm out of practice. Should have just stood in my house and preached anyway last week. But what Paul uses here are participles. Participles are complementary verbs. While doing this, while or after doing this, They're the ing verbs. So we are to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly while we are teaching, while we are admonishing one another. The means of having the word dwell richly in us is our ability to teach and admonish one another. We are given, as our second point here, a number of ways to accomplish the command. Let the word of Christ, the message of Christ, dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs, as we also sing with gratitude in our hearts. There are two primary actions here: to teach and to admonish. And I could tell you what the Greek words are, but I'm not going to, because it doesn't matter. Teaching is the passing on of knowledge. It is more than just sharing facts. It's the ability to understand information, process information, and use information. That is what teaching does. It gives you information and enables you to process that information, and then it gives you the ability to use that information in other ways. And the Bible does this in a bunch of different ways. Jesus did this in a bunch of different ways. He taught the crowd on the Sermon on the Mount, and he gave instructions. He lectured. This is what you have heard, and this is what I'm telling you now. This is how you this is the information you need. This is how you ought to process it. This is how you ought to use it. But there's also informal ways that Jesus taught, using parables, stories, where he shared a story, didn't say what it means, didn't say how to apply it necessarily, just let it out there. The kingdom of God is like a merchant who goes off on a long trip and leaves his servants. Then he comes back. And the servants are judged based on how they utilize the resources they were given. Well, what does it mean? It's an excellent question. What do you think it means? That's teaching. And that's what we ought to be doing. We ought to be having formal teaching classes. We ought to be sharing stories. We ought to be provoking thought. Those are the things that the church ought to be doing. That's what we ought to be doing with one another. Admonishing is a different word. It's also instructing, but it is more confrontational. Admonishing means there is a danger that you need to be aware of, which is instructing. Don't touch a hot stove or you will get burned. That is a valuable teaching experience. That is a valuable instruction, because you don't want to get burned. Sometimes they're preventative warnings. Follow the map and don't get lost. Sometimes they're corrective warnings. You are going in the wrong direction. Either way, it is admonishing. You want to say, oh, you're so critical and you're always correcting me. No, I am admonishing you. Sounds so much nicer. It's like the difference between stubbornness and persistence. We ought to be admonishing one another. When we see someone in danger, we ought to be saying, this is what you could do to avoid this danger. Or stop stepping into danger. You know what? You want to avoid this bear trap because it's right there. You are going to step in a bear trap. So don't put your foot down. Both of them are admonishing. And it's not really in a casual way, but a confrontational way. You see something and you say something. You see a kid crossing the street, not looking both ways. You don't say, oh, before you go, let me tell you a parable about a young man that crossed the street. No, you say, look both ways. Stop. Teaching and admonishing. Now, before we move on, we need to understand that we are to teach and admonish one another. There is no hierarchy of instructors. We are called to instruct one another, which means I can teach you and you can teach me. We teach one another. In the context of Colossians, there was Paul and Epaphras, but Paul and Epaphras are not the only teachers here. What he's saying is, I need the word of God, the word of Christ, the message of Christ to dwell in you richly. And the way you do that is teach one another. Because you have something to offer. You, each and every one of you, has a passion, an experience, a base of knowledge that no one else has. You have seen things, you have heard things, and it behooves you to pass them on. When you see someone in a casual sense or in a classroom sense, and you have the opportunity to teach, do that. If you see someone in trouble and you know what the correct course of action is, provide admonition. We are all supposed to pass on what we have. If we know the truth, we ought to teach. And if we see someone in trouble, we ought to warn. All of us have had teachers that we have loved, and we have had teachers that we have hated. We have engaged with people who were good instructors and poor instructors. And we ought to desire, because we have to teach one another, we have to admonish one another, that we do it right. And so the remaining portion of this verse that tells us, as our third point, we're told how we ought to teach and admonish one another. With all wisdom, we must convey an understanding or a comprehension of the word that includes a full understanding of both those who we are teaching and what we are teaching. We need to know the wise way is to understand the student as well as understand the material. If it's way over their heads, there's no point. If it's way beneath them, there's also no point. If it isn't addressing their need, then there's no point. And so what we need to do is gain wisdom from God and say, I understand the condition you are in. I understand sin, and I understand grace, and I understand mercy, and I understand maturity. But I also recognize the truth of the gospel, that there is redemption and forgiveness and correction and rebuke. And so we teach with all wisdom. We're called to apply the truth wisely. It must be appropriate for the hearer and appropriate for the situation. And it can be done through anything, including psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We are always teaching by what we sing, by what we talk about, by what we focus on, by what we post. All these things are sharing what we know to be true. And so we need wisdom. It is the substance of our instruction. Not that we are sharing our opinion or our inferences, but we are wisely presenting the word of truth. And we also are to instruct with gratitude in our hearts to God. That we need to be thankful for being used as a teacher and rejoice over the other person's understanding, rejoice over the other person's application. We need to be thankful that we, in fact, know the Word of God. The joy of knowing that our sins are forgiven and that we are avoiding painful experiences because of the instruction of others. And it's the spirit in which we teach, not with superiority, not in a scholarly tone, professorially, but as co-learners, as family, as ones who benefit from one another. Our sermon in a sentence is this. We help ourselves indwell the truth when we instruct one another. At a TED talk a few years ago, John Sutherland, who is an officer in London's police department, explained a principle in forensic science called the Locard exchange principle. It's named for Edmund Locard, who was known as the Sherlock Holmes of France. And the principle is a simple one. Every contact leaves a trace. And from his principle, forensic science has taken leaps and bounds. That there is always something left behind. And so now we have forensic science, and we have crime scene investigators, and we have DNA, and all these things that are based on Locard's principle. Every contact leaves a trace. And that's the principle that we see here in Colossians 3:16. Every time two people come into contact with another, an exchange takes place. Whether they are lifelong friends or passing strangers, there is some sort of contact, whether it be encouragement or ignorance or holding out a hand or withdrawing it. We walk toward one another. We walk away from one another. We bless one another. We curse one another. Every single contact leaves a trace. The way that we treat and regard one another matters. Knowing we have something to teach another soul helps the word take residence in us. Hearing what others have to teach us also helps the word take up residence in us. It's both. It's what you were saying earlier, Marie, that teaching Sunday school benefits the teacher as well as the student. That whether it's teaching or admonishing, is reciprocal. I gain from teaching you because it's knowledge that I am being reminded of. But I also benefit from you teaching because you're giving me something that I didn't know. Hearing what others have to teach us, teaching others, helps the Word of God dwell richly within us. We help ourselves indwell the truth when we instruct one another. So as we think of Children's Sunday, as we think of Father's Day, as we think of church, and as we think of Bible studies or whatever, let's remind ourselves that God desires that the Word of Christ dwell in us richly in the way that God has designed for the Word of God to dwell in us richly is that we teach and admonish one another. Not that one teaches and everyone else hears, but that we are interchanging and using every contact, every conversation, as an opportunity to build up the message of Christ in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and your truth.